Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, my darling, and welcome to the All or Something Living podcast, episode 22, where we'll talk about 8 fail-proof tips for having more energy. Now, a few weeks ago, I asked you all on Facebook and Instagram what it is that you struggle with the most in terms of your health and happiness. And so many of you said that you don't have enough energy to get through the day, or maybe you don't have enough energy to feel vibrant throughout the day. Maybe you're having afternoon crashes, but whatever it is that you are going through personally, I know how it feels to get those afternoon crashes. Or for me, sometimes I can have a hard time even getting out of bed in the first place. So that can be one of the most frustrating things because, let's face it, if you're not feeling good or energetic, then you're going to be way less likely to actually do the things that you set out to do every day. Then what happens is that will snowball into you not meeting your long-term goals, and then you beat yourself up for it and you feel like crap about yourself. And we just don't want that because it's a vicious cycle. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you my best tips for generating more energy in your life. Using these tips, I've personally been able to not only have enough energy to get through my days, but I also feel more energetic, which allows me to feel more vibrant and happy, which is the bottom line goal for me. I do everything that I do, all the things I talk about on this podcast. I exercise, I take good care of myself, all for the sake of happiness, because I know what it feels like to be unhappy. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about. And it's just, I mean, we only have one life to live. And so while we're here, we want to make the best of it. And there are ways that you can do that. So as you listen to this episode, I want you to think about what your goal is. Why do you want more energy? And what would you do if you had more extra energy? Would you go back to school? Would you finally pursue that job that you've always wanted to? Would you get out of a job that you're miserable in right now? Would you play with your kids more often? Or would you just even like finally do something as simple as reaching your weekly and monthly goals, which would make a huge impact on your quality of life? So you chose to listen to this episode. So I want you to think about, why is having more energy important to you? And keep this why in mind as we go through each tip, because I'm going to ask you to choose which tips resonate with you the most and to start implementing those in your life today. So before we get started in the episode, I'm going to share my all or something lesson for this week. In case you forgot, I've only done this segment twice now. This is only the second time. But the all or something lesson is when I share something in my life that maybe I'm struggling with or that I had struggled with, but I figured out how to get through it using the all or something approach. So this weekend, I had actually a 6-day weekend. So pretty much I had a week off. It was President's Day in school, for school, which means that I had Monday off. And the week prior, I usually have school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, I went to Wednesday class last week, and then I was doing my homework on Thursday, preparing for class. I only have English class on Friday class, excuse me. I was preparing for English class on Thursday night, and I got a message from my professor saying he was canceling class for the next day because he wasn't feeling well. So that meant I had Friday off. So I had Thursday through the following Wednesday off, which is tomorrow at the time that I'm recording this. But I just came from a job where I like 6 days off in a row was a luxury, where that would happen maybe once a year. And that was around Thanksgiving time when I could somehow like get my vacation time to line up in that way. So 6 day weekends are obviously not normal for me, probably not normal for you. And so, I took advantage of it, and I was for the first 2 or 3 days super lazy. I literally didn't get out of my pajamas. I just laid in bed half the day. I was watching telenovelas. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a Spanish soap opera. And because I'm in Spanish class right now, so I was like practicing my Spanish. So I guess that's kind of productive. But anyway, I was just soaking it all in. And I thought to myself, you know, I really should be using this time to work on my business or to be productive. And I just was not feeling it mentally, emotionally. I was kind of drained a little bit. So, you know, I just recharged. And I think in the past, I definitely would have beat myself up for that. I would have been like, you know, I don't know, I should be doing more with my time, I'm a failure. But I was just like, yo, I'm going to relax for as long as I feel like I need to, and I am not going to make a big deal about it. So I didn't make a big deal about it. And then on Sunday, when it was time to catch up on chores and stuff, I picked up right where I left off. And sometimes that's the beauty of giving ourselves space and time to relax and just do absolutely nothing for a few days, is we come back feeling so much more refreshed. I just went to a payo class this morning, and that really kicked my butt. So I feel a lot better after having a nice long break, and I definitely want to take this time. It's like I said, not many people in their adult lives get days off like this, so I really want to cherish the times that I have to myself and to have some downtime. So the lesson here is that if you do have some time off and you don't feel like you're being productive enough with your time, I just want you to know that you are doing enough. Like, whatever feels right to you, if you feel recharged and refreshed after your time, then you have done an awesome job. So if you haven't already, please leave me a review wherever you listen to this podcast. I really want to start getting this podcast out in front of more people. I feel like I'm starting to get my groove here and figure out the direction that I'm going in. And so I would love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear what you have to say. So you can leave a review from the iTunes app. I don't know how Google Play works. I'm not sure if my website allows for that, or Spotify. I don't know how Spotify works, but either way, if you don't leave me a review, please just send me a message on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler. Let me know your thoughts, or you can email me at lauren.m.kepler@gmail.com. So let's get into the episode now. I'm going to be splitting this episode up into two parts. So in part one, we'll talk about the long-term habits that you need to build in. So think of part one as the foundation, and you always want to build that foundation to create a really strong building, obviously. And then part two is the daily habits that you can incorporate. So keep in mind that the foundation doesn't have to be built in order to move on to part two. You might look at part one and the things that I suggest and feel overwhelmed and then just want to quit altogether. If that's the feeling that you get, please don't let that stop you. You can just move on to any tip that resonates with you. This is just the way that I've set it up so that you can get the most out of it. So the way that you can get the most out of this episode is by choosing just 1 to 3 things that or tips that resonate with you. Doesn't matter, like I said, what order they're in, and just start there. Now, I've created a printable checklist with the tips just for you so that you can go through the list at your own pace, and then that will make it more likely that the habits will stick. So you can grab a copy of that in the show notes. All right, let's dive into part one. So part one is, like I said, building the foundation. And the first tip I have to share with you is Don't compare your productivity to somebody else's productivity. And don't compare your now to someone's there or your start to someone's end. Take your time experimenting and finding what works for you and your current situation. So, in other words, stay in your own lane. Let your journey be what it is without expecting it, without putting so many expectations on yourself, because all that's going to do is hold you back. So as you get started on whatever goal or whatever journey that you have, and this pertains to like you're trying to have the energy to make this happen, as you get started, don't think about all the times that you failed in the past. Just learn to break things down and take things one step at a time. So I had a really hard time with becoming overwhelmed with building new habits. And the habit that we're talking about in this episode is having more energy in your life, or learning to have more energy. And so I used to just like shut down and just like think, first of all, I have failed so much in the past. What makes me think that this time is any different? But what changed for me, and what changed everything for me, was when I went through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition for health coaching school. And each week we had just a few modules that would be released and we would go through them. And that was all that we had to do for the week, which made it really simple, not only because I was working full time, but there were some weeks that like a video would be 2 minutes long and I'd be like, is that it? This is too easy. But then I'd realize that the reason that the videos and the information was so short was because it was more so about implementation and taking the time, not just spending time learning, but actually implementing what it is that you're learning. So keep it simple. Don't think that simplicity means that it doesn't work, because if you just implement maybe one to two simple habits per week or per month, imagine where you're going to be at the end of the year, at the end of 2 years, at the end of 5 years. So as the old story says, slow and steady wins the race. And that's not just a cliche. It is a true, true phrase. So tip number two is to learn to prioritize and only use your time to do the things that matter to you. And of course, we all have those must-dos that we don't love, but make sure that it's a must-do that is contributing to your bottom line. So I guess that would mean that it does actually matter to you, because if it's a must-do, like for example, me working on my business, there are some things in my business that I don't love doing. I don't love the technology part of it, right? But every week I sit down and I work on the technology part of it because it's a must do in order to contribute to my larger vision. So if there are some things in your family, maybe you cook dinner, but you don't really like doing it, but you know that it's a must do because then it allows you to nourish not only yourself, but your body, your family with healthy foods. So think of those things as must-dos that you actually need to follow through with. So how you can do this is to list out everything that you have going on right now, everything that you do on a weekly or daily basis. Write it down, and next you're going to cross out the things that aren't contributing to your bottom line, or things that you're just doing out of obligation. Now, if it's going to take you a little bit to get out of certain obligations, that's fine, but at least cross them out so you know that there are things that you want to start to cycle out. Then with the task that you have left, rate them from order of importance. Then you're gonna focus on the top 3 to 5, and then, as I said, slowly cut out the things that you're able to as time goes on. So an example of this is that I've chosen my top priorities as school, business, and family. So when an opportunity comes up and it doesn't involve either of those things, any of my priorities, then what I do is I make sure that everything is squared away with my priorities first. So if I want to go out on the weekend with friends, I want to make sure that I have done all my schoolwork, that I have met all my business goals, and that I feel connected and I feel like my family has been getting enough of my attention. Now, I want to emphasize that this is never going to be perfect. Yes, there are times when I go out and do things when I haven't met the goals of my business. Yes, sometimes I beat myself up for that, but the idea is to learn from that and to pay attention to how it feels when you aren't focused on your priorities, or maybe you not betray yourself. That's a strong way to say it. But when you don't follow through with what you say you're going to do to yourself, do for yourself, then that creates a lack of trust. And then that's what keeps you from like actually following through in the future. So just pay attention to how that feels and then remind yourself that it's a matter of priorities. So if an opportunity comes up or somebody asks you to do something and you know that you want to say no, but it's hard for you to say no, and instead of avoiding them or saying yes and then canceling last minute, here are some things that you can say. You can say, let me check my schedule or assess my to-do list and then I'll get back to you. Or you can say, I would love to, but I promised my husband that I would spend time with him this weekend. Or thank you so much for the offer, but that's not my priority right now. So overall, just make sure that you're being mindful of how you're spending your time, and then that will contribute to how much energy you do or you don't have. If you're spending so much time doing things that drain your energy, then you are going to struggle with that. So tip number three is to keep your space as clean as possible, because having cluttered or dirty spaces can cause you to feel overwhelmed and to shut down or procrastinate. So do the Marie Kondo and get things simplified and organized. What I mean by that is, if you haven't already, then I highly recommend that you either watch the Tidying Up with Marie Kondo show on Netflix, and or you can buy her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and I've done both, and just start working your way through it. Then once your space is clutter-free, come up with a system for keeping your house clean on a weekly basis. So in our household, chores are distributed between the family throughout the week, so we all know what's expected of us. I've had friends come over and ask me, how do you keep your house so clean? And I say, because we have chore charts and we hold each other accountable for actually following through. So Saturdays, Jalen does a deep clean on the kitchen and he cleans and vacuums his room and bathroom. And then I clean our bathroom and vacuum upstairs and yada, yada. You get the idea. But then as the week goes on, we don't just like leave things laying around. We also hold each other accountable for cleaning up as we go. That way it's just kind of all runs in this smooth system. And then it doesn't lead to me being stressed or overwhelmed and then having to spend hours on my weekends cleaning the house. And if you have like young kids, then don't feel bad about this part, because your house is obviously going to look different than mine does on a weekly basis, and that is okay, because this is just a season of your life. Marie Kondo does have a young daughter, and she talks about her situation a lot during the show, so that can help you out. But the bottom line is that as soon as your kids become of age, you can get them involved and teach them good cleaning habits. Even toddlers can be taught to clean up their spaces, and you can make a fun game out of it. So instead of saying, you know, I have kids and so like you just completely let your house go, do the all or something thing and just have them clean up whenever possible. Have them help you out whenever possible. All right, moving on to part two, the daily habits that you can do for more energy. So going into tip number four is start your day with gratitude. So think about what you're looking forward to for the day or the things that you're already thankful for, because being grateful and excited for what you already have gives you energy. And then focusing on what you don't have drains your energy. This will also help you feel like you have a reason or a purpose every day, no matter where you work or what it is that you do on a daily basis. So here are two options for this practice. You can write down three things that you're grateful for each morning when you wake up or at any time during your morning routine. I know when I used to work, I would show up to work 15 minutes early and write it down real quick at my desk before my shift started. Also, if you don't want to write it down, then while you're still in bed, then just think about three things you're grateful for before your feet even hit the floor. Now, for me, mentally thinking about things doesn't really work because my mind will just like wander off and start thinking of other things. But this does work for some. And I also find that I like writing it down because it really solidifies what I'm feeling and, you know, has it right laid out there in front of me. So, and then the other option is if you're having a hard time just getting out of bed in the first place, try to think of at least one thing that you're looking forward to for the day to help energize you. So are you looking forward to a new project that you get to work on at work or at school today? Do you have a wine date with a friend after work? Did you make yourself a really yummy lunch for today and you can't wait to have that? And it doesn't matter how big or how small this is, it still counts. So keep yourself grateful and that will keep you energized. Moving into tip number five is meditate. So think of meditation like plugging yourself in to recharge throughout the day. Just like you would plug in your laptop or your phone when it starts to run out of batteries. And I know I've seen this a lot throughout college, being a college student now. People constantly have their laptops and their phones plugged in. So if you're able to do that for the things that you own and if that's important to you, then think about yourself. Like, why wouldn't you want to recharge yourself throughout the day? Some options for meditation include the Insight Timer app. This is what I always talk about. It's full of free guided meditations and even courses and all different types of meditation. So whatever it is that you're feeling, for example, if you want to do a body scan or you want to practice deep breathing, then you can just search it and it is there. If you don't have time for a full meditation, what you can do is just 3 to 5 breath cycles. I've talked about breath cycles on here before, but I'm going to take you through one right now. And this is called the 4-4-4-4. So what you're going to do is you're going to breathe in for 4. And then hold for 4, breathe out for 4, and then hold for 4. And that is called, actually, it's called the box breath. So if you do that 3 to 5 times, that immediately starts to relax you and recharge your energy. Tip number 6 is to be mindful of what you eat, because what you eat can really impact your energy. So pay attention to how foods make you feel at certain points of the day. For example, a big bowl of pasta at lunchtime might cause you to have an afternoon energy crash. So you can opt for something lighter like a salad or sautéed veggies. But the thing here is you want to make sure that you're eating enough nutrients. So it's not going to cut it if you just eat like iceberg lettuce with ranch on it. Make it a nutrient-dense salad. So have different types of lettuce, different types of greens. You can add garbanzo beans and different seeds and a nice fattening olive oil and lemon vinaigrette that you make for yourself. There are so many different combinations that you can do. So, and I wouldn't worry so much about calories. I would just focus on getting enough nutrients to keep your energy up throughout the day. So here's an example of how I like to eat throughout the day to keep my energy up. So first of all, I don't drink caffeine on a daily basis because I notice that if I am drinking it consistently, then it's like my source of energy and I don't want to have to rely on coffee for energy, caffeine for energy, because then my body feels that it doesn't have to produce its own energy. And then it's going to be like, I have to drink 3 cups of coffee a day just to get through the day. So I avoid caffeine and I just drink like an herbal tea instead in the mornings and some lemon. I like to start my days off with lemon water. And then I'm also mindful of if and when I eat processed sugar. What I mean by processed sugar is things like candy bars or even baked goods, things like that, because I know that those things will, for me, cause energy spikes and then crashes. So if I eat a dessert, like a really decadent dessert, then it's going to be later on at night because I know that I won't need that much energy before I go to bed. I eat as I'm hungry throughout the day because it keeps my blood sugar stable and then it helps to avoid a sugar crash. We all know what happens when we have a sugar crash. We get hangry. All of a sudden we want to eat everything in sight to get our energy up as quickly as possible. So what I do is in the mornings, I eat something light and filling but nutrient dense for breakfast. So this can be something like a smoothie with some protein powder and different like superfood powder, so maca powder and cacao powder. Definitely have frozen fruits in there. Sometimes I'll throw in some frozen greens and then almond milk. And that keeps me full for a while. I always carry around snacks. So things like walnuts really keep my energy up. And then for lunch, I'll have something with very few carbs. And I'll avoid a heavy meal so that I can sustain my energy into the afternoon. Then dinner doesn't really matter too much, but I try not to eat anything too heavy or anything that's going to give me heartburn or make me like kind of, I don't know, if your body is digesting super hard, then it's going to disrupt your sleep and wake you up throughout the night. Especially if you have like a glass of wine before bed, I try to avoid doing that on a regular basis because that also wakes me up throughout the night. Then another important thing is I just make sure to drink water all throughout the day because that makes a huge difference too. So be mindful of what you're eating and how what you're eating is impacting your energy levels. Tip number 7 is to move your body. Exercising regularly helps get the dust bunnies out of your body, and contrary to what you might believe, it gives you more energy instead of less energy. If working out does leave you feeling depleted or exhausted, then you're pushing yourself too hard. So try some more gentler forms of exercise. So when is the best time for you to work out? Do you, and I'm asking you this, do you get more energized from a morning workout or an afternoon workout? Whatever time it is, schedule in your workouts and make them happen. And if you're thinking of skipping out on your exercise, then remind yourself that it gives you energy and it doesn't take it away. And then don't negotiate with yourself. Make it a non-negotiable habit. So just show up no matter how you're feeling. Of course, there are a few exceptions to this. If you're sick, or for me, like if I have a morning workout and I didn't sleep well the night before, I will always opt for more sleep first. To me, sleep comes first, exercise second. And then remember that exercise does not have to equal going to the gym, or it doesn't have to take up an hour of your time. If you can even do a walk around the block or the park, if you can stop and do 5 squats or 5 push-ups throughout the day, if you want to do a quick yoga sequence, all of that counts and all of that helps to get your energy up and consistently like flowing. It's kind of like motivation. Like you think of momentum. You think of like momentum keeps momentum going, just like a car. It starts and then the tires keep rolling because it started. It's got momentum. I have no idea if I explained that well or not, but I hope you get the point. And then tip number 8 is sleep. I don't know why I kept this one for last, but maybe we saved the best for last. So sleep. Come up with a bedtime goal. Create a wind down routine and make sure that you're getting at least 7 hours of sleep per night. One of the most effective tips for helping with sleep is to create a wind down routine that you can start 1 to 2 hours before bed. But remember, this is all or something. So if you can't go start to wind down like earlier, that much earlier, or you just choose not to wind down an hour before bed, then just create a mini bedtime routine, even 10 minutes before your bedtime. But the idea is to get into the mindset of relaxing and winding down to prepare your body for sleep. Some things you can try for your wind down routine are meditation, lavender essential oils. You can drink like a chamomile tea, take a warm bath, read something relaxing. I try not to read like personal development. I just read for fun at this time. Journal, and just mix and match any of this that sounds soothing and relaxing to you. Just try to keep away from the screens, or if you have those glasses that block out the blue lights, you can use those as well. So my bedtime routine usually consists of packing my lunch for the next day, packing my gym bag for the next day, then I'll spend like a long time brushing my teeth. And then flossing, and I do a tongue scraper. What else do I do? I usually do a meditation or a home play, which is like a tantric masturbation kind of technique. And then what else do I do? I plan my next day so that my mind is clear when I go to sleep. So just make sure that you're giving yourself enough time to wind down so that you get quality sleep, because quality sleep is just as important as how long you're sleeping. And that is like almost a foundational thing. Like your sleep is going to run almost everything else in your life. So the all or something takeaway from this episode is to remember to just choose one or three of these things to start with and then work your way slowly through them. Don't forget to grab a copy of your free printable to guide you through each of these tips. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to hear what you think about it. And as always, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler. Tell me what your thoughts are, what aha moments you had during the episode, how it helped you out. And I would love to hear from you. I always respond to everything that I get. So stay tuned for next week where we will talk about habit building. But until then, have an awesome rest of your week.